I don't know why this is in my mind, but do you know why churches started having evening services?
So you could sleep in the morning.
So you could sleep in the morning? No. It's fascinating. But churches started having evening services when gas lamps became the vogue. Okay? And back in those days, churches were favored, so the gas companies supplied gas to the churches free of charge and put in chandeliers, and people who didn't have them at home could come to church at night and see how the gas lamps worked. And the churches saw it as an evangelistic effort, a way to get people into the church because not everybody had gas lamps, so it was a good way to get people in. You could come and just say, oh, isn't this modern thing wonderful? Okay, now, just out of curiosity, I've been reading through the old minute books of the church, and I've been reading through the year 1928. How many of you were part of First Baptist in 1928? Yeah, I thought Ryan was there. Had a feeling. Okay, so not even Frances raised her hand. Okay, and she always gets to be the one to light the Advent candle because she's, you know, getting up there. What can I say? Okay, but she wasn't even there in 1928. Now, look, in 1928, they were having a problem. Know what the problem was? They couldn't get anybody to come out to evening service. Okay, now, when I came to be pastor of the church in 1981, guess what one of the first problems they gave me was? We can't get anybody to come out to evening service. So from 1928 to 1981, they were all sitting around saying, I can't. We can't. We don't know what to do. We don't have enough. We'll never make it. God isn't providing. We can't. It won't work. In the story that Lois read to you today, the continuing story from the passage we read last week, the people of Israel are gathered at a place in the desert called Kadesh Barnea. Don't ever forget the name Kadesh Barnea. They are on the edge of the promised land. This close to receiving the blessing God has in store for them. Because they were a little bit nervous, they sent spies into the land. They begged God to let them send spies into the land. And God said, oh, all right. So by God's command, they sent spies into the land. The spies were in the land for 40 days and 40 nights, and they returned to the people of Israel with a mixed report. The spy said, the land does indeed flow with milk and honey. But it is already occupied by other people. Big people. Bulging muscles. Now two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, urged Israel to move forward and to claim the land that God promised to give to them. But the other 10 spies argued, we can't. We don't have enough. We'll never make it. Not even God can get us through. If you will, they listened to the lies of Satan. They argued that the Israelites could not take the land even if God had promised to give it to them. Because all the people who lived there were giants with bulging muscles. The other 10 spies agreed that Israel, even with God's help, was too weak to claim the promise. We can't. We don't have enough. Not even with God on our side can we do it. They listened to the lies of Satan, designed to deny them the blessing God had promised to give. Now, the passage that Lois just read in your hearing from the Bible says that all through the night, the people raised their voices and wept. Translated into Jensen, they made a royal commotion. They grumbled and complained about Moses and Aaron, and they grumbled and complained against the plan of God. "He brought us out here into the wilderness to die," they said. "It would have been better if we had just stayed in Egypt. We should just turn around and go back to slavery. We were better off before." They listened to Satan's lies. And then they laid plans to elect new leaders who would take them back to Egypt. Now, if you'll just let me, it's easy for us to sit here and say, how stupid. Why would you want to go back? But remember the good old days. How it used to be when we first got gas lamps. And people just flocked out to evening service. Even if it was to see the light in the ceiling and not the light of God. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the people, begging them to trust God. And not to rebel against him. Joshua and Caleb made a heartfelt plea to the people, trying to convince them that the nation could trust God. They urged the people to understand that if God was with them, they need not be afraid. But the people would not listen. Instead, the people resolved to kill Joshua and Caleb. They would not hear their words. They preferred to listen to the lies of Satan. But in the midst of the commotion, and to prevent the stoning of Joshua and Caleb, and maybe even the stoning of Moses and Aaron, guess what happened? God came. God showed up. Now, I just want you to know for the record, he was there all along. He was watching them. He was not caught off guard or surprised by anything that happened, but all of a sudden, the pillar of fire which led the nation moved to the tent of the meeting. And out of the fire came the voice of God, "Moses, come here." God asked Moses, "How long? How long will these people listen to the lies of Satan? How long will they continue to treat me with contempt? How long will these people refuse to believe in me, despite all of the signs which I have done in their midst to convince them? How long will they listen to the lies of Satan?" And then God declared his judgment on the nation of Israel. "I will strike them down." God declares that he will kill the rebellious sons of Israel and that he will make for himself a new nation from the descendants of Moses. And I just want you to know that this is the second time in a very short time that God has made the same threat. Israel's pushing it, folks. They're burning God up. And what's making God angry with them is that they are listening to the lies of Satan. Now, I can do this in a couple ways. Okay? You want to know what's got God ticked at our nation? The same exact thing. We as a people are listening to the lies of Satan. The whole nation is being sucked into it. You want to know why God pronounces judgment on our lives? Because we listen to the lies of Satan and we are convinced that we can't, we don't have enough, that not even God can deliver the thing that he has promised to us. We rebel against God and we take as fact and truth the lies of Satan. But Moses, dear sweet Moses, the scripture says, the most humble man on the face of the earth. Moses begged God not to destroy the people. Now, I want you to notice that Moses did not argue that the people did not deserve to be judged or killed. He didn't try to build a case for sparing them on that basis. In fact, to the contrary, Moses recognized Israel's guilt. However, he argued with God that if other nations saw God destroy Israel, the other nations would then argue that God was too weak to deliver Israel as he had promised. Therefore, said Moses, for your own sake, for your own name's sake, God, I beg you not to destroy the nation, but to use the situation as an opportunity to teach Israel and the whole world a lesson about the true nature of God. Said sweet Moses, God is slow to anger. God is abounding in steadfast love. God is always ready to forgive, but he will not let the guilty go unpunished. Now, we like the first three, don't we? We want to build our case on them. Want to trade on the first three. But that last one is a catcher, isn't it? Messes us up because it is as true as the first three. There comes a moment when the guilty, those who have been persuaded by the lies of Satan, will be called to give account. That moment will come. Now, God's response to Moses' plea for the people of Israel always astounds me. In fact, it makes me laugh. Moses making this big plea, right? And God says, hey, buddy, Moses, I have already forgiven them. Don't you love God? God has already forgiven them for listening to the lies of Satan. But number four had come. The moment had come. Consequences were set in motion by Israel's contempt for God, which could not be recalled, for God's judgment had fallen on the land. God's judgment had fallen on them for listening again to the lies of Satan. Because they listened to Satan's lies, the people were ordered to turn back into the wilderness. They were denied immediate access to the promised land. They would now wander in the wilderness for 40 more years. 1 year in punishment for each of the 40 days the spies had explored the promised land. Because they had listened to the lies of Satan, none of the rebellious people would be allowed to enter the land. God said that every Israelite over the age of 20 would die in the wilderness. None of the present generation would be allowed to enter the land. Because they listened to the lies of Satan, the 10 spies who brought the false report were stricken with a plague. They all got sick and they died there at Kadesh Barnea. But then the people declared, "Oh God, we are so sorry. We repent." We'll never listen to the lies of Satan again. And to show you how sincere our repentance is, Lord, we will go up right now and take the land. But they still didn't get it. They were still listening to the lies of Satan. The Lord said to them, "Turn back to the wilderness." He did not say, "Repent and move in." Still, they would not heed the instruction of God because they were listening to the voice of Satan. They still did not understand what remains true even to this day. We only prosper when we trust and obey. And if we are trusting and obeying God, there is nothing we need fear. For if God is with us, who dares stand against us or in our way? So the people, without Moses, without Aaron, without Caleb, without Joshua, and without the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's approval and presence, moved forward to take the land. They did what God told them not to do. And by doing what they did in their own strength, they failed. They continued to listen to the wrong voice. They did not listen to the instructions of God. They listened to the lies of Satan. And I'm here to tell you today that if you move forward without the blessing of God, if you choose to ignore the instructions of God, if you resolve to do it your way and in your own strength without God, you also will fail. For life is only good when we choose to trust and obey. And if you trust God, and if you obey God, there is nothing before you to fear. For if God is with you, no one can stand against you. He alone is our strength and our shield. Do not listen to the lies of Satan. Trust and obey God.